What's up, Flavor Fest family? Welcome to the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast. Listen, if you are an artist, you definitely want to lean in to this episode. You want to tap in, you want to share this with some other artists. There's going to be some gems that are going to be dropped on here. But listen, if you're not an artist, if you're just a leader, pastor, church planner, like, don't go nowhere. There's still going to be some powerful leadership lessons and some stuff that you're going to be able to pull out of this. A brother that's going to be coming to Flavor Fest this year in Tampa in November. And so, yo, tap in. If you haven't subscribed to the channel, go ahead and subscribe. Hit that like button as well. And here we go. Let's jump in. Welcome to the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast, where we talk to innovative artists, creative pastors, church planners, entrepreneurs, and people creating movements. Our goal is to inspire and equip you in ministry, music, and the marketplace. I'm your host, Tommy Urban D. Colonna. So listen, Flavor Fest family, today we got some greatness in the building, some greatness on the stream today, a brother with a lot of knowledge when it comes to the music industry, and I'm not as tapped in as an artist as I once was at one time, and the music industry has changed a whole lot, and it's rapidly changing like every single day with social media and AI and algorithms and new technology and just all kinds of different things. There's a lot to keep up with, and this guy has his pulse on what is happening, and so you definitely want to tap in today, lean in today. Again, share this with some artists, but we got none other than my guy, Doc Watson from RMG, that is in the building. So come on, what's up, Doc? How you doing, man? Make some noise for my guy, Doc.
How you doing, bro?
Man, I'm good, bro. Good, man. So just kind of give everybody a rundown, man. Who is Doc Watson? And what do you do with RMG Music? Like, kind of give us a little bit of the story, the 30,000 view, man.
Yeah, well, you know, we started out way back in the day, Derek and I, you know, we started a label. I think it was like 2009 when we officially started RMG. We went from there to doing Amplify, to starting a pub admin company, to diving into sync music, you know, and kind of our goal has just been to open up the culture more, grow business, create opportunities, give artists opportunities to be to get support. You know, I think, you know, early on in Christian rap, kind of post cross culture, or cross movement. I'm sorry, cross culture,
cross movement.
My brain is like slow, but yeah. So you know, cross movement, man. They definitely started. There's people before them, but the era that I'm more familiar with is post-cross movement. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of options label-wise. There was some out there, you know? So kind of around 2017, we wanted to start like more of a label support service side. So we started Amplify, which has been great. You know, and Amplify is kind of a situation where artists on different levels can get support. So we initially made it for artists like Thizzle that were kind of in between situations you know, needed a team. And then, we started making it available to artists that were developing with a different kind of deal where they could pay for the support and get a you know, a deeper split their way so they can keep more of their revenue. And because then you're building them and you're not really making money as a company at that point. You know what I'm saying? Thanks to how streams work, you know, it just takes a long time to build that momentum. So yeah, we've been just trying to help people find their money too. Like one thing I've noticed is that a lot of artists, because it's all you know when you start out, you're just looking at Master Money, DistroKid, TuneCore, you know, United Masters, whatever you're using, and you're just used to that. But there's a lot more revenue that comes in naturally through publishing and the MLC and Sound Exchange. So we've been just trying to connect the dots for people and create more revenue and more money for the internal culture so people can spend more, spend with each other, promote themselves, go on tour. And I think I'm seeing, you know, I think after about 5 years, we're starting to see the effects of it, you know, at least for our part, you know what I'm saying? Like there's other people doing things too, like, you know, Reach and Majors and money and stuff like that. So, so I think it's dope. It gives artists options, you know?
Yeah, man. I think that's so good, bro, because your average artist creative, how's that creative side of their brain working? And to really like do all this stuff for yourself as an artist, there's not a lot of artists that are wired that way, that are going to step through all those things and learn all those things and manage all those things. And so I think it's been a blessing, man, even for like Derek, to have somebody like you in his life. Cause a lot of times, a lot of record labels, like everybody that works at the record label is also an artist when it's first starting out. I know we've had that conversation before. Like, you weren't trying to like drop an album too. You were just focused on like all the nuts and bolts and the details. And, you know, so for some artists to have that available is great. Yeah. And so with Amplify, you guys kind of have like almost like the buffet of like, here's the services of the things you need. You might not be able to do all of it or might not have the budget for all of it yet, but these are the things that we can offer. And these are the things that are going to help you in all these different areas that a lot of times artists don't even know about publishing. They don't know about sync deals. They don't know about Sound Exchange. You know, I just got a check from Sound Exchange this week. I was like, let's go. Praise God for Sound Exchange, you know? But a lot of artists, I mean, I'm making way more money on Sound Exchange than I am on my streams, you know? And so, and then even obviously through any kind of, you know, sync deals or any licensing deals you can get, a lot of artists just aren't really sure about where to start with that or how to do that. I've talked to a lot of artists, they don't even have any idea what that is. They're just trying to make music and put it on the platforms and go out and do shows and that's it. And maybe sell some merch. And so, man, that's so important, man. So what would you say, bro, like, what are some things that artists need to focus on right now in today's music industry climate? Because everything's always changing.
Yeah, I'm probably going to talk about this Flavor Fest a little bit, man. One of the conversations I have a lot outside of playlists and string, you know, and monthly listeners, you know, and just helping people understand what they're looking at is the marketing of the music, right? And, you know, people confuse marketing and promotion, right? Promotion is you're promoting your to your current followers, your fans. Marketing is growth, you know, and a lot of new artists, you know, the hardest pill to swallow, I think, for the majority of, not all of them, is that you're going to have to spend money or time and a lot of it.
You are.
And, yeah. And it's kind of there's no like sure way. Every artist is different. Every artist has their own path. There's just a way, you know, and there's a lot of frustration with Instagram, a lot of frustration with, you know, the algorithm changing when they start, like during COVID, for instance, you know, people were at home and couldn't go out. So, you know, the phone became the new stage really, you know, during that time. So the algorithm, you know, was different and some people really found success during that time. But what you'll notice is that a lot of them had a hard time converting that into live shows, you know, because people watching you and you performing for 15 to 30 seconds on the clip is a lot different than you performing at a place and having a personal connection. You know, one of the things that I see people struggling with in Christian rap is the dependency on honorariums and churches and not necessarily building out their own value and doing shows. So they start to become a little inflated on what they feel they're worth when they come out.
Come on, preach that, bro. I know that as an event promoter and what artists are trying to get right now, a lot of them, just to be real, like I'm not coming against your worth, but I'm coming against the amount that people are asking for. Ticket sales are not going to, you're not going to sell that many tickets. And that person that's bringing you in is going to lose money. There's an event, our building gets rented a lot for events. And there was an event that happened here a little while back and an artist came and charged a crazy amount. And the promoter actually lost tens of thousands of dollars, and it was like, yo, that artist can't command that amount of money anymore. Maybe they could at one time, but it's just like, it's like, man. And so, but that's only hurting everybody else, because then like people that put on events or shows are like, I'm just not doing Christian hip-hop anymore. It's just, you know. And so so be realistic with what you're charging, artists. I love y'all, but you want to just get in the door, get in front of some people.
I mean, you know, and that's not to say they may not be worth it in different situations. Like,
What
a lot of them just don't realize because they didn't come up the normal way, which is building up, you know, venues and throwing shows, to understand real cost analysis and what your real value is, what you can put into. There's different values, right? When you get an honorarium, that's an appearance fee, right? So, you know, that's what they do for like legacy DJs, legacy artists, or, you know, we're going to have Aaron Rodgers show up and talk today. We're going to pay him $30,000 to be here. That's, you know, it's because Aaron Rodgers is probably going to sell $60,000 worth of, you know, revenue or whatever. Like, so it's hard because, you know, a lot of artists feel that, you know, you get a church that's got a budget, and I'll explain this so they know, like, what a church will do is they'll go, hey, for this year, we've got $40,000 for our youth group, you know, and if, you know, it's a mega church or whatever. And so they put somebody in charge, and that person books it, and they do a major event. And I'm going to tell you how many times I've been in convos with people that have booked shows, spent the whole $40,000 on one show, and they've never done a show because the church was like, wait, what about the rest of the year? And did we sell tickets? And you know, we sold like 100, but we let it look like everybody just came free. And so a lot of times when those things start happening, if you're smart about it, you'll know that, man, that's, you know, that's too much value, and you may kill an opportunity forever. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But
you're right.
It's a hard conversation because if you don't really know it and you're not used to it and you haven't, you know, and also, like, you know, who am I to say that you're not worth whatever you think you're worth, right? Like, I'm not really in the business of telling people they're not.
Yeah.
But it's just, don't be surprised if you go to a venue and you're like, pay us $1,000 and we'll split ticket sales with you. And you sell 100 tickets and you make $2,000, you give $1,000 to them, you know, 400 to the staff, the team, and then you walk away with zero, you make money on merch. And that's kind of, I would say that that's one of the big things. And it all stems from social media. You know what I'm saying? Like, it stems from, hey, look at my views. Hey, look at my clicks. Hey, look at this, you know, and that's more of down the road of influence. So you have to learn how to turn that into something bigger. You got to figure out where your fans are. You got to connect with those people. Because just remember, like, going up on a timeline and hitting like takes me 5 seconds. I'm gone. I'm on the next thing.
That doesn't mean somebody's going to buy a ticket to come see you at a show. They might have liked your video, but that doesn't mean that they're going to actually come and spend money to come see you. It's a numbers game. You know, the more people you have following, then the more is that percentage that's actually going to engage. But sometimes, people get stuck on, like, look, man, I have 30,000 followers. I'm, you know, it's like, but that doesn't mean that 30,000 people are really engaged.
All right, man. These, you know, these newer artists, these younger guys and ladies are coming up in an era where they always had a phone. You know, you and I are from an era where we didn't have that. So we're used to the other way, and we know what that was like before this. And that other way still exists, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, the hand sales, the getting out with your music, that era is still there. So now that COVID's over, the algorithm is changing. You know, the shows are happening again, and you're seeing a dip in some people's numbers because people are going out. They're out on weekends, they're out in the evenings, they're doing stuff. So the goal should always be for any artist, you know, that doesn't want to be, that wants to be a performer. Right. The goal should always be to convert into fans and supporters and to get out to them and perform for them. And Derek did that really well. Derek, it was his idea. He made it a point to go out and connect with as many people as possible for his project. You know, he wanted to get a feel for what was out there, where people are mentally, you know, where his fans are. And because of that, on his album, you know, he had a really deep connection with people because he had a pulse for what was going on in his artist, you know, in his community of people he's dealing with. And what he found was a lot of people are hurting right now, confused, broken. They're not really trying to party. You know, they're trying to turn up. You know, they're really just hurting. And so when you listen to his album, you're hearing adjustments that he made, you know, to meet people where they were at. So that's the importance of getting out in front of your fans. And it's still important to do work on Instagram and TikTok or whatever you choose, or both, or all of them. But you have to do it. And it's exhausting, man. It's tough. It's tough on artists.
It's something you got to keep up with every day. Every single day, man. So you disappear for a while and, man, people can forget about you quick. Everything's moving fast, man. So what's your take, man, on, like, let's talk about AI for a minute. Like, how do you think that is changing things, or what's your prediction on where that might go?
AI, the anomaly. Nah, man, it's AI is it's weird. Like, it just feels like, well, we always knew it was out there. I think growing up, we always heard about AI, and I guess you knew at some point it was going to be.
We saw the movie iRobot, you know, it was like, oh, snap.
Yeah, Terminator is the one. It's like you almost kind of like saw the future in that one.
Yeah, but, and Matrix, of course, you know.
Yeah, Matrix. Actually, you know, Matrix is supposed to be like after Terminator. It's supposed to be the same movie. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. I just found out about it. Like it's after Terminator has happened, and that's the new.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. I didn't know. I just found out last year. But basically, like AI is great. I mean, it's great for a few things. It's great for doing some write-ups. Obviously, you know, writing tools helping. Like with me, I'm not a great writer. I've never been great at writing. So it really helps me out a lot if I need it, you know, to put words together, structure sentences in a way that is proper, more journalistic. I think in time, it's probably going to become a lot more powerful as it gets customized. You know, right now, it's on you to customize it, you know, how you want it to be. There's a lot of people diving into it really deep and going forward and learning how to use it in a thousand ways. So I think it's cool. It's artificial, though. I feel like it, you know, I need the human touch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
AI is just a respondent of what it thinks you want based on how we all interact together. It's trying to learn who we are. But as you know, people are different. We change constantly. So, you know, I think as far as the tone, delivery, and trying to connect with people, you know, that's a good tool to have to help you do that, but it's still on you. And what I really don't like about music right now, as far as the marketing is, and I get why, but a lot of artists are trying to find ways to use technology to engage versus them having to engage because it's so tough. So AI.
People getting lazy.
That or, you know, there's also fatigue too. Like, it's hard, man. Like, if you're an introvert, it's not fun. You know?
Definitely.
If you're an extrovert, it's not too bad, but it's still a lot of work, you know?
Yeah.
But so AI helps do that. It's got some things that I think are very helpful as a tool. And I think it just, if it's overused, it doesn't sound like you and it starts to sound like somebody else. So you have to make sure that you are in, you know what I'm saying? But I think it's going to be helpful. I just hate that it's going to create some complacency, I think, down the road, you know, with people.
Yeah.
Dependency, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I think if you can learn to balance it in a correct way, I think it could be a powerful tool. I mean, I recently, we do some, you know, editing stuff on clips, and you can just put like the whole, even for like the message here, a crossover on Sunday, you know, we would have to go through and pick out what timestamps we wanted. Then they would edit it, put it through some stuff, put it up, all that. Now we can just upload the whole message into this software, and the AI picks out all the timestamps. And, like, we just tried it for the first time last week. And, bro, like, it picked out all the right spots. And we were like, woo! We were just pressing the button. And it would just, then it would start editing it, putting all the words on it, everything, download it, boom, it's ready to upload these, you know, shorts. See, that's what's awesome.
You know, like, the genius out there, if it hasn't happened already, would make something just for artists where they can do a bunch of content. And you could put it through a system, and AI can like chop it all up and actually almost create it for you. There's something kind of like that, but it's not like it, like how artists would probably want it, where it's a little more involved and takes a lot. I mean, a lot of the work, man, is artists have like two struggles with it. It's either the creative side, like having to constantly create content, new content, or it's just the editing of it, you know, the time it takes to edit it.
I think the creation part, I mean, yes, it definitely takes brain power. So me as a creative, as an artist, but it comes natural and I could pump some out. But then a lot of times it's the next step that can be like, but now I gotta like edit this or pick it out or figure out, you know. And if there's stuff out there that can take that step and make it so much easier, that's gonna be huge. It's coming. I'm sure it's coming, bro.
Yeah, it might be here already. I just don't know about it.
Yeah, it probably is. Somebody's going to type in the comments like, try this. Put a link in the comments if you know what we're talking about, and we'll all tap in. Yeah, man.
Yep.
So what's next right now, man? What are you guys working on, man, at RMG and Amplified? Some stuff that you're, like, excited about.
So on the Amplify side, you know, we signed a label in Nigeria. They've been killing it. We've got
really
three artists so far. Jakar.
They from like Lagos?
Yeah, I think they're all from there. I'm not super sure.
I've heard like that's like the capital of Christianity in the world, bro. Like there's so many believers. I've been to Nigeria once, and the way the country split up, like the capital's in the middle of Nigeria, Abuja, that's where I went. And the northern part of Nigeria is more Muslim, and the southern part is all Christian. And the southern part is much bigger. That's where Lagos is at, and it's like a huge mega city. And there's just tons of like large churches there, and like Christianity and Christian culture there is like is booming. It's funny because like the second biggest city I have that follows me on Instagram is Lagos. New York City is number one. Lagos is second. So there's there's a movement over there, bro. So tell me more about it, man. I'm intrigued now. So talk about the Nigerian label and that connection and how that came about.
Yeah, so they're called Fourth Crest. My guy Sola runs it. Man, we picked him up last year, and Jakari was the first artist, and then they signed Kendrick, and then they signed Nolly, and they're all really, really dope. Man, I'll tell you one thing, they have tons of music. They just go hard constantly, music. Yeah. You know, they turn out music like a lot, and they're super energetic, but they're doing a great job, and I'm excited because, you know, in Christian music, it's always a little behind the trends. You know, it's never really on trend. It doesn't usually set trends when it comes to, you know, new creativity. But we're a little ahead of the game. I know Reach signed an artist as well. So there's different people starting to do it. But what I'm excited about, man, is just the power in that in Nigeria. Like, they've been building and growing. And they've got – what's cool is, like, Nigeria has its own – representatives for all the DSPs, so like iTunes, Apple, YouTube, they're all set up down there. And so the label that we're dealing with, they have those connections, so they become our connections, like ours become theirs. So that's been the beauty of Amplify, is just, you know, there was a time that you and I both know where artists wouldn't work together. Everyone was kind of in the corners for whatever reason. It was really weird. I came from, you know, hip hop to Christian hip hop. I was like, why is it like that? It's Christian. You know, I thought it would be.
You had your theological camps, your denominational camps, your stylistic, you know.
Yeah.
Man.
And it's now, it's not that way really anymore.
Yeah. Like, I'm glad that era is over.
Yeah, me too. And that's what we're also trying to amplify, is just create, like, you know, when you have people on the same team or getting supported by similar people, it kind of connects bridges, and people that don't normally talk, and it started creating natural bridges for everybody, you know, that they can take with them, whether they're here or not, you know? So it's been dope, because that's what's happening with the label out there, is they're starting to create opportunities for themselves, right, for other people. They're starting to do features and primary artist relations. So in a world where back in the day, nearly impossible for that to happen, you know, when we first all were doing this, like, there really wasn't a way to do that. Our files were too big, artists couldn't travel, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really, that we have that ability now. So I'm excited about that. We got, you know, with No Apologies, and they're doing all the Latin stuff with us. So that's really dope. I've been building that out with them, and they've been pretty successful. He's dropping the project next week.
So, bro, you got Latin, you got African, you got American. Like, that's dope, man.
It's really dope, man. So it's, you know, we're diving into pop, R&B. Let's just kind of dive into everything, open it all up, you know, and make it more broad. And I feel like the effect affected the whole culture. I mean, we're not the only ones impacting, but I feel like it's spread things out, and people have been building different things and growing different things, and you're starting to see more and more podcasts and more stuff happening, you know, that people can get behind. And it's dope, because creating, you know, a little bit of an infrastructure for us, for people to put an album out and be able to go out and do a press run or radio interview. And, you know, that's dope, man. That creates revenue, sponsorships. It's good for everybody, you know, that when you have more and more people being able to make some money and support themselves, and it takes stress off of everybody and makes it, you know, more of a venture for everybody to be a part of, you know. So that's the Amplify side. Of course, we got a bunch of dope artists at Amplify. Like, I'm really proud of who we have and all they're doing. You know, there's a lot of them. And then on the RMG side, you know, we've been really focusing on Derek and Cannon.
Who all is on RMG right now?
So currently we only have four artists. We have Danielle Apicella, Myron Juwan, who we're creating a new label for because he's not really doing Christian music or anything like that. So we're creating an R&B imprint just to kind of house him. Okay. And Cannon and Derek is who we have now. So we're going to sign somebody sooner or later. We're just kind of being really careful with it. Yeah. And we're kind of looking around to see who fits. We feel like, you know, you got to go a different direction to put things out, right? So for us to do what Reach is doing doesn't make sense. They're doing that. Yeah. And they're doing it. So, like, we don't need to do that. It's okay to have another artist that's doing something similar, but our mission is to kind of go down the alt-rap, conscious hip-hop route and sign artists that are kind of dealing with real-world issues.
Yeah.
You know, that can talk about it but perform on live stages and venues and clubs, you know what I'm saying? So we feel like at some point you got to progress that way if you want to stay in music, because if you start out doing churches, typically that takes you down the road of youth groups, you know, and then those kids grow up, but when they grow up and get exposed to everything else, they may or may not stick with you, you know? So if you're not growing up with them and you're not talking about things that they're dealing with, it's hard for them to stay connected. If your tendency is to be like, well, I got to still make Christian rap music for kids, then they're going to grow older and move on, you know? So
yeah.
I know you've probably seen it. Flavor Fest has been around for a while and been an opportunity for people, but you got to have something where people can go beyond. Like, there's got to be another way to get out as an artist.
I'm praying, like, in our Flavor Fest tribe of churches and church plants, hip-hop in a lot of those churches happens on Sunday mornings. I mean, we have artists come to our church on Sunday mornings all the time. We'll have them, you know, and they might only do, like, a song, you know, because we don't do a concert. Every Sunday in service, we have worship, and then we, you know, we might have a guest artist slot, you know, generally a couple times a month. And I believe that as churches kind of get more in touch of what's happening in culture and music and art, that they're going to realize, like, dude, hip-hop turned 50 this year. It turned 50. Right. And so it's not just for the youth group anymore. You've got people in your church in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and yes, 60s that are hip-hop listeners. You got the whole gamut, pretty much almost every generation now that sits in a church, except maybe your older, like 70 plus crowd might not really be into it. But I've got a lot of people in my church that are in their 60s that are into hip hop. Not a lot of 60 year olds, but there's a couple dozen, and a lot of them are New Yorkers. They grew up in New York City. Hip hop's been around for 50 years. That puts them at, they were teenagers. They were young adults when it first started. That was their music. And so to have hip hop on a Sunday morning, have an artist come in, like why not? Just like you might have a worship singer, a pop singer, or a, you know, whatever style of genre come in. And so I think as time goes on, and of course, you know, you go to Flavor Fest and certain other shows, and you'll see, like, it's mostly adults in the crowd. You know, there's some youth groups there too, but you know, I think there's got to be more of that. There's got to be more of a lane for that, because, you know, you go to a secular hip hop show, mainstream hip hop show, it's not a youth group there. It's mostly all adults that are buying those, you know, $50 tickets, you know, and they're rocking with it, you know. So I mean, I was just 2 weeks ago, I'm friends with Montel Jordan, and he came to Tampa to the Rays game to perform. And so he hit me up, and me and my wife are friends with them. And so they're like, yeah, come hang out with us. So it was funny, man. I just thought it was just him performing after the game, you know, like a little set or something. So I walk in the suite, and they have this look on their face, and I'm like, what's wrong? And they're like, oh, man, you just missed it. Like, the paramedics were in here. They had to take Tone Loc out. He was having a health issue, you know, and he's not going to be able to perform tonight. I'm like, oh, Tone Loc was performing? And they're like, yeah, it's the 90s show tonight. And it's like, it's me, Tone Loc, Vanilla Ice, and Rob Bass. And, you know, I was a big Rob Bass fan. I'm like, Rob Bass is here? They're like, yeah, he's right there. He's eating. He was like 10 feet away from me. He had his jersey on. It said Bass on the back. You know,
when you're hot, dance. That's what they're playing.
Yeah, bro. And so here, this 90s show, and the majority of everybody from the game, they stayed. There was probably like 20,000 people there, and they all came out on the field. They set a stage up, and you looked out in the crowd, and it was mostly middle-aged adults that were obviously rocking to all these songs. And so I think that's something. I'm just getting down a rabbit trail, but I'm just saying, like, I think the church misses that. Like, they just for the youth group.
They, you know, at the end of the day, man, like, you can compare it to rock. When I was a kid, rock was big. You know, hip hop was there, but rock was the primary genre for kids and young adults. Yeah. Like, it was rebellious. You know, Van Halen, all of that was going on. Guns N' Roses, Metallica, those were the mains that you would hear about. And there was tons of groups, right? Then it went to grunge and punk, right? There's a station in San Diego that's ever popular and won't go anywhere, 91X. That's all they play. When you go to San Diego, you'll always see a black 91X sticker because it's just so popular, right? Like, it'll never go away because it's just part of the culture there. But hip-hop has gotten to a place where our generation grew up with it. And, you know, as you get older, you got kids, you got responsibilities, so your mind changes. Yeah. I mean, some people... They just stay who they are. But as you get older, like, you got different things you want to think about. So
yeah, the topics can't always be the same.
No,
you can't still be rapping about rims. Or I'm not going to listen to a song about rims all the time at my age. I'm like, yeah, okay. Been there, done that.
Yeah, yeah, like, you know, at some point you go past it. So, like, when Jay-Z dropped 444, you know, that was an album that was definitely a redefining of hip-hop for his age, because he was beyond, and He said a lot in there. Like, there was a lot of, you know, nuggets in that project. I'm not telling Cass to go listen and don't get mad at me for that, but I'm just saying.
You got, like, the poster in the background, bro. You need to cover that. Yeah.
It's actually a painting. Yeah. But at the end of the day, people got to realize that, you know, it's getting older. So you're going to have older artists and you're going to have younger artists. We got used to, you know, you're washed, this and that. But it's like, nah, it's just you're younger, you're into that. You're not ready to hear this. You're not in a place where that's what you want to listen to. But as you get older, you're going to want to hear more of that. And so the artists that stick around for a long time are the ones that find a way to stay relevant for their age. And continue on. They're not talking about, look at Lil Wayne. He was literally a rapper since he was a kid on Cash Money.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, his first album, he didn't cuss because his mom wouldn't let him do music if he cussed, literally. So, you know, now he's still here. He's still somehow relevant. Snoop Dogg, Kanye, you know, some of the Christian rappers have been able to maintain for a long time. That's a hard job to do. It's hard to stay relevant.
Somebody that did that really good was J. Cool LL. I'm playing, bro. I don't know if you saw that. The president messed up his name really bad the other day.
Oh, dude.
It was terrible, bro. He's giving him some... Him and MC Light, he was giving him Lifetime Achievement Awards.
And like, names some of the real old school, like,
couldn't even say his name right. But yeah, someone like LL, man, he had put out like over a dozen albums. And then also, you know, was acting. And, you know, a lot of rappers have pivoted and they're doing a lot of other stuff as well.
He paved the way for guys like Ice Cube to do that, right?
Yeah.
And beyond. Like, now you're seeing that happen more and more, but. Yeah, I mean, it's just a cultural thing, you know, like, and once again, Tommy and I aren't saying, you know, go listen to these guys or we sign off what they're talking about. We're just saying, when you look at that, it's kind of a blueprint for how we should be doing things in Christian rap. Like, you know, we should be having different types of eras and venues and opportunities for artists, you know, to grow beyond, you know, the doing the youth group shows and stuff like that. And once again, there's artists that's what they're going to do forever. They want to do that, you know, but
we had our first, and I think in my opinion, I might be wrong. Maybe you could correct me. Our genre last year had our first 50 plus year old rapper put a new release out, and that was The Ambassador. The Ambassador put out a new project, The Invitation. He came and performed at Flavor Fest, and, you know, lyrically it's still dope. And, you know, I mean, maybe a teenager might not rock to it as much, but the people that were with them, and I think even people that weren't with them back then, can still discover and be like, yo, this is, you know, good music. This is dope. And so I think our movement needs that. We need some older voices, some mature voices. At Flavor Fest this year, we have two OGs that are coming back. We try to do that every year now. We bring back some OGs. Last year, we had the ambassador. We had Soup the Chemist from SFC. We had the Truth. You know, the Truth is kind of almost in that era. He's been around for a long time, still active, though. He's a little younger. He's in his 40s, mid-40s. But then this year we got Chilly Chill from Gospel Gangsters. So he's coming this year. And PID is coming, Preachers in Disguise, which they were big in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s. So they performed at Flavor Fest Houston this past summer. And, bro, they killed it, man. They killed it. And so Fred Lynch is kind of the leader of that group, and they've kind of reunited, and they're starting to do some shows now. You know, and they're all, like, well into their 50s, you know. And so it's dope to see.
Yeah, that's dope, man. That's good to hear, man. We're doing that, too, for the GMA show. We're doing it's Future Legacy.
I heard about that, man. That looks like that's going to be dope. Talk about that, man. That's coming up in a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, so basically we're, the GMA has put together a committee, Tim from Syntax, Verbs, myself, Spotify, Rich is there, Ace from Reach, Boost FM, Mike from Boost FM. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody. Adrian, who's a committee chairperson. Like, we were like a special Christian rap committee. They wanted to really do like a show for, and they've always wanted to do shows. It's something that we've been working on for a lot of years. And finally this year, you know, we were able to put something together. So it's official. And they're probably going to start after this year. GMA's, I would think they would expand a little bit because they're growing and there's a lot of interest. So they've got a Latin showcase. They've got this one. They've got a worship one on Sunday. And so this one, because, you know, we're doing the show, which is Social Club, Derek Miner, John Keith Wande, Adriel Cruz, DJ Malski, and then Grits. There's a special guest coming.
You guys got Grits, the OGs coming back?
Yeah. And so the thing with them is they're really close to getting a double platinum plaque. They're really close to that with their song Ua.
Wow.
Remember, they dropped that before streaming. Song's got.
So Ua was from 2001, I think, or 2002.
Crazy. So that song, because of all the clips and TikTok and everything else, I think they're 300 million plus streams just on Spotify, which is insane. And
so double platinum is like officially, like, I know it's all crazy now with streams and they compute that. So that would be officially 2 million sales?
Yeah, so they're that's what it is. So they're supposed to be getting a plaque during the show as part of a ceremony. And
that's dope. I mean, that's historic, bro.
Yeah. And now, I mean, that's supposed to happen. I know there's other people involved that can make it happen, but that's our goal. And then they're going to have a special guest that may come out. We can't talk about it yet because we're still trying to confirm it. But it's dope because we wanted to do something that felt like it represented the culture from A to Z to a certain degree. We're not perfect in this one, so obviously we'll be able to improve on it. But, man, the reception has been great. It's been exciting to see people get excited about it. A lot of folks want to fly in for it. And, you know, I think it's great for Christian rap because it hasn't really had a place to kind of connect to be a part of that officially. Like, the GMAs have really tried hard to find ways to be inclusive with it. You know, it's tough because they got a program that shows got a lot of moving pieces that I don't understand as far as the big production.
Yeah.
But then we got Tim, who, you know, Tim put together the panels.
Tim lives there now. So, I mean, he's definitely, I think that's good. He's able to connect with a lot of that crowd to bring some change and some inclusion for Christian hip hop, which is great.
Yeah. And he does a great job and he's super thorough. Yeah, so like,
love Tim, man. He's always been a great supporter of the movement and been to Flavor Fest many times.
Yep. But the panel though is dope because we're doing Amazon, Pandora, BET, YouTube. So it's pretty cool, man. It's kind of like a little miniature Flavor Fest that's happening, you know what I'm saying? You know, a month before, I guess. But it's really dope. So it's good that those panels make a difference, man. When you go out there, you can meet them, talk to them, hear what they think about it. They give you like their real, you know, first person view of how curation works, and you get a chance to see how they look at things and what they think and what the pressure is like for them. You know, so as an artist, it's eye opening and very insightful. It helps you like figure out how to, you know, make music that can impact when, and they hear and maybe support, you know. So yeah. I get a lot of questions at the time, artists trying to figure out how do I get heard, you know. And so these are opportunities when Flavor Fest happens or GMAs or like even South by Southwest and other shows like that. Like those are good chances to go and sit down and connect and get a chance to hear that from people that are doing it every day. And you'll be smarter for it, you know what I'm saying? It gives you a tool so you're not shooting in the dark, you know?
Mm-hmm. So that's good, man. Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, bro, what would you say is maybe one of the biggest leadership lessons you've learned from being in the seat that you're in, leading the label? Because there's all kinds of leaders that are watching this podcast.
Yeah. Man, I think patience, in the years, as I've gotten older, you know, when you hit your 40s, man, you kind of change, you know, a little bit. And I got a 2-year-old, so that changed me a lot. But
yeah,
I think what I've tried to do better is listen more, try to understand where, especially with artists, try to understand where they're coming from. Not be a dream killer. You know, I was in the military 10 years, so I dealt in facts daily. Facts kept us alive. Facts kept the mission going. Dreams don't work in the military. You can't dream of completing the mission in the military. You know, you have to do it. So I had to transition from the execution of the task mindset to helping an artist imagine the dream and to go for it, you know, and then be okay with knowing they're probably not. I haven't met too many artists that are just, when an album comes out, you know, they're over the top happy. Most of the time it's, the album came out, but there could have been more. Like, it's never a complete body of work, you know? And I had to get used to that's how it works. Like, I had to adjust to that. I had to understand the emotional logic, or not logic, but the emotional mindset, you know? And it's a different mindset, you know? It's a different way of thinking. So it took me a long time to understand that and to be patient and to listen and to help build that up without feeling like I'm necessarily signing off on it, something I have to do personally. Mm-hmm. You know, like I used to take it like, oh, we got to get into the Super Bowl. Oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? Like I had to do that for them, you know? And it's like, they're just dreaming. They want to get there. They got to have, Derek said something the other day, man, that really hit me. He said, you know, you got to be able to dream to be an artist. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so if you're getting in the way of the dream with facts and not letting an artist get excited, and you get in front of it, then you kind of kill it. So as a label head, I had to start seeing it different, and it took me a long time to get there, you know? So, and that's just part of it, man. You're not going to always do the right thing. You're not going to always make the right decision, you know? So be easy on yourself. You're going to make mistakes, especially as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You know, a trailblazer, you know, you know, I mean, your church is one of a kind, you know, and you've been building and creating opportunities and different visions, and it probably doesn't always line up with what everybody else wants at times. It creates a lot of pressure, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah, we've been pioneers, and I always tell the church, like, man, as long as I'm still here, we're not going to become settlers. We're going to keep pioneering, we're going to keep innovating, we're going to keep doing new stuff, and that's why, and I believe that Flavor Fest is still around, you know, after 23 years, you know, most conferences or events or movements, you know, maybe last about 10 years or so, and they kind of hit the bell curve and fizzle out. But, you know, one of the things that's kept us around with longevity is we keep changing it up. We keep staying current. We keep taking stuff away, adding new stuff, switching it around. You know, this year we did the tour where we went to 4 different cities, and we'd never done that before. And it was a lot. It was a lot, bro. My team did a great job, killed it. And we're going to be doing it again in 2024. So stay tuned. We'll have some announcements at Flavor Fest this year about what we're going to be doing and where we're going to be going next year. But God's been lining up some really cool stuff behind the scenes. Our story is always like, man, if you're faithful in the little, God will bless you with a little more. You're faithful in that, God will bless you with a little more. And people can come now and see the facility we're in and all the stuff happening. They're like, oh, my gosh. But, bro, if you would follow the last 2 decades, it's been a story. It's been humble beginnings, and it's just been building little by little and being faithful. So any leader, any artist out there, man, just stay faithful to what God has for you to do and be patient. That's what Doc said, learning patience.
Yeah, just know you're going to have hard days, man. You're going to feel like quit. You're going to feel like you want to just do a factory line. You know, you want to just go do something brainless where you don't have to be dependent on. You don't have to worry. Just doonch, doonch. Yep. There's days where I feel like that. There's days where I feel like, you know, man, I just want to be the fry guy at McDonald's.
I want to have a normal life, do something where I don't have to think so much. Yeah.
I don't want to sit in the middle of nowhere and look out and see nothing for, you know, 10 days, you know, but like it comes with the territory though. Like, you know, if you lead something, there's a lot of responsibility. It's going to put a lot of pressure on you because you're trying to move. People have expectations. A lot of times you don't set those expectations. They set them, you know, and that's probably the hardest thing to understand. Anytime you lead anything is that there's a billion, trillion people in the world or whatever it is, the actual amount, and everyone sees it different. So, you know, what I've been trying to do these days is instead of me trying to help you get what I think you want, I've been trying to find out what you want and then figure out how to help you get that, you know, and then educate on what it takes and what that looks like and create direction. But for a lot of years, you know, I just had it in my head, like, this is what you probably want. So we'll do that. And, you know, it's almost never what they really want. You know, it's maybe down the road, maybe when they get to where I'm at, they want that. But they want what I wanted when I started.
Yeah.
To be successful, to have fans, to be able to be part of something, you know, like, so that's hard to do. It's hard to, like, rewind the clock and remember, hey, what did you want when you started? What were you excited about when you started, you know? And not try to, you know, impose 47-year-old Doc on them versus 23-year-old Doc. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Today isn't what I wanted when I was 23, you know?
Yeah. Cool.
But, yeah.
All right, so let's land the plane. I'm going to give you a couple rapid-fire questions, the Flavor Fest 5. Okay, so you ready, man? You ready?
Yeah, right, maybe.
So favorite moment at Flavor Fest?
Oh, that's easy. My favorite moment was Cannon the year before had almost died, and he put together a song called Grateful, and he was finally able to perform. We came to Flavor Fest. Scott was there. I think he was the host.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, man, Cannon performed and he started crying on stage and the crowd just like got really into it, man. They started crying and Scott went up and just started praying for us as a label and for Cannon as an artist. And it was just a really dope moment, man, to see him back up there, to see people connect with him. It was probably one of the biggest God moments I had, you know, while doing music, you know, just because it was bigger than the moment. It was like, I knew in that room and including me, there was a lot of people that were fighting through different things. And so they were able to, I think, accept that and have a moment with us. That's a moment that I'll never forget. There's a lot of other ones, but that one always comes to mind.
That's a good one, man. That's a deep one, man. I remember that when he came back from that and it was like, wow,
it was big,
praise
man.
God, he's back. He's back.
It was so awesome.
For a minute there, it was like, we didn't know if he was ever going to rap again, you know?
Worst day ever. Yeah.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. So, okay. So what's your favorite place to go in Tampa when you come to Flavor Fest? Anything stick out?
Yeah, there's a, you're going to laugh. Right across the street, there's that Jamaican place, that Jamaican jerk place.
It ain't across the street anymore, bro. It's right next door. It's in the parking lot now.
Oh, man.
They moved right here in the parking lot, the Jerk Cut, and it's even bigger and better. And, you're making me hungry
in Tampa for sure, but their Jerk Chicken is amazing.
Yeah, like, Jerk Cut is amazing. Shout out to them. The owner of Jerk Cut actually attends Crossover now. And several of the people that work there attend, and we're always at visitors coming. How'd you hear about it? Well, Jerk Cut. I looked over, and man, I was like, I gotta check that place out.
That is the only place that I eat jerk chicken, man.
Best speaker you might have heard at Flavor Fest in one of the sessions, or something that might have stuck out to you.
I hope I don't say his name wrong. Is it is it Dr. Eric Thomas?
Eric Mason.
Damn. Sorry.
Yeah, Eric Thomas, you think about E.T., the hip hop preacher.
Mason, man. This is going back to the old church, the old spot. Yeah. So I went right before you guys moved. Because remember, you guys had the last one, then you had a year off, then you moved.
Yeah.
And
so, yeah, that's right, bro. You're an OG. You was even at Flavor Fest at the old location. Like, most people don't even know about that. That was like 8 Mile. Yeah. It was with the low ceiling. Everybody packed in like sardines. We had a lot of stuff outside on patios because the building was so small.
Yeah, you guys had a skate park in there.
Yeah,
you
we had a stage in the skate park, a stage in the auditorium. We had a breakdancing room in the kids' church. We had all the vendors kind of in between behind the church, this little alley. We called it Vendor's Alley. And, we just maximized that little space, bro.
Yeah, for a guy that didn't really understand Christian rap, like when we signed the Reach with Derek, I didn't really even know who Reach really was and all that. Like, I was just figuring all that out. I mean, I knew of him, but I didn't understand what all that was, you know. I was still new to everything. So for me to see that, we went there before that happened. That's when we had dropped like Blackout and we were about to drop Redemption. And we were there and I was like, this is crazy. This is insane. What is this? You know? And, but yeah, Dr. Mason was, I went to his, his speaking, moment or engagement. And I'll never forget. Cause I walked in with my hat and sat down. He said, everyone take your hats off. And he's like, I'm just kidding. I don't care. And I was like, what?
Like, this Flavor Fest, man. Come on. Yeah. That's cool, man. All right. Favorite artist besides Canon, besides the Canon moment. Favorite artist you saw rock?
Let me think. There's a couple of different times. I'll be honest. There was the very first year I went, there was two, R. Swift and Lecrae. And R. Swift performed in the backstage outside, and it was hundreds and hundreds of people out there. They knew all his songs. I didn't know who he was yet, and I was like, yo, this dude's dope. This is crazy. And then the Lecrae moment that got me, he was doing what's the name of the song? One where he goes, Lord, use me up, that part.
Don't waste your life.
Yeah. And I was like way out back by the half pipe, standing up on it.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, bro. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. I'm going to add my 2 cents. Go ahead.
I didn't really know the guy I was with, but the guy I was with, like, it didn't dawn on me until he said it. He said, man, look at this. You got 400 or 500 kids out here saying, Lord, use me up.
Yeah.
Look at this, man. And I looked, I'm like, my God, this is crazy. You know, like, it really, that was a moment that I wasn't expecting. You know what I mean? Like, it was really a moment. But what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember that moment, bro, because I was out there. And the auditorium at the old location was small. I mean, we could only seat like 200 people. So maybe you could have about 500 bodies in there. And we literally had like 1,000 people at Flavor Fest. And so we're like, we got to have a second stage. And it can't. We did it before in that smaller kids' church room where you can maybe stand like 150 people back there. I'm like, so we came up with this idea to do it in the skate park, and we put a tent over the skate park, and we used the half pipes was like the stage, and it was a big area. It was like perfect, right? But the problem was we're in the middle of a residential neighborhood in the city, and this concert's at night. There's houses like 150 feet away. It's a neighborhood, right? So we gave letters out to all the neighbors, and we're like, hey, we got Flavor Fest coming up this weekend, and here's some movie tickets, some free movie tickets for you guys to go to the movies that night, because, you know, it might be a little loud, and so that helped, right? But at the same time, in that outdoor stage, we didn't even turn the sound system all the way up. It was loud, but it wasn't all the way up because we're like, we don't want to like shake the whole neighborhood. Inside was like crazy loud, right? But it was still loud. But I remember the chant, bro, when everybody was just chanting that song, Lord, use me, you know? And it was like, bro, it eclipsed the music. Like louder than the music. And it was like, it was drowning it out. And it was like, man, the whole neighborhood is hearing this chant of hundreds and hundreds of people saying this. Yeah, it was powerful, bro. That was a moment for real. So last question, last Flavor Fest 5. See, we were supposed to do these quick, and we started getting all caught in the moments and stuff. But what are you most excited about for Flavor Fest 2023, man, in Tampa?
Man, well, I'm glad I'll be there for at least a couple of days. Last time I was in and out because I was going back to a wedding. So I didn't get a chance to really dive in and see everybody. And I didn't even get a really chance to see you. So
Yeah.
But I'm not sure when I was there, though, I saw a lot of new faces, you know? I saw kind of a newer generation of people coming in. And when I did the class, it was pretty dope. Like, there was a lot of good questions. And, you know, just I was excited about the new energy, you know? So I think seeing the people I know, but then seeing all these new people come in with their new ideas and everything is always fun for me. Like, I love being a part of it and helping and educate and teach and meet and connect and fellowship. But just seeing all the new people that are excited and coming into it, you know, it's always refreshing for us because, you know, people like you and I, we do this all the time. We're always busy. We're always working and we don't get a chance all the time to see, you know, the people that are impacted or engaging or excited. You know, you deal with people that are either, you know, in a mid part of their career or end of their career, but you never, it's like getting a chance to see those new people coming in that were like us when we came in, you know, new life, new ideas. So I think that's great because you need innovation. You need, you know, labels know what they're doing with what they're doing and churches got what they're doing, but the people that come in that are new, fresh and excited are the ones that really bring the energy and the new ideas, you know, and it helps us because at times you just get frustrated, tired. I mean, you know, I don't got to tell you that. It's just, you know, we carry a lot, you know. Yeah. So it's just always the best part for me is seeing that. So that's for the person that like, no one cares, I'm here. It's like, nah, you're the reason I want to be there.
Yeah.
For the one I have, for the one I didn't know was excited. We don't know your story. It's probably dope. Like all those things matter, man. So, you know, especially when it comes to what we're doing it for, you know, and I always feel like Flavor Fest has a welcoming atmosphere.
Yeah.
So that's dope.
That's good. Yeah. So you definitely don't want to miss Doc's workshop. If you're an artist, it's going to be November 2nd through the 4th. That's a Thursday night, all day Friday, all day Saturday. The music festival's in the evening.
I want to give you some props, man. Like, you didn't ask a question that really let me answer a question about you, but I want to say that your diligence on this, man, and you taking it around to the cities and creating this space for people and the structure and the organization and the way it looks and the platform and the opportunity, man, it's really amazing. And I know that there's been challenges when you do these things, there's always challenges, but I really appreciate you doing it. Yeah, man. You know, you don't realize how hard this stuff is sometimes to put together and to keep a water and to find the resources to do it. But thank you for doing that. And I heard a lot about you traveling. People were, I mean, everywhere you went, you know, at first I was like, dang, that's a lot of work, man. How are they going to do that plus do Flavor Fest, you know? But I saw it at first. But the fact that you pulled it off and it impacted the way it did, like I just heard nothing but great things about it as you were traveling.
That's good to hear. You know? That's good to hear, man. Thank you, man.
Thank you for what you do, Tommy. For real.
Yeah, it definitely was a lot to take on. A lot of money we had to raise. Our church supported it as well financially in a big way. We took a special offering for it because it doesn't support itself when you first do urban stuff. Even though we had you know, a couple hundred people in each city, it was great. I mean, our goal was not to, it's never to make money. We just want to pour into leaders. And the goal is if we can break even and pay for itself, awesome, right? But there's some great stuff because of our team's faithfulness that the Lord is, you know, lining up for next year and providing new resources to make it even better and bigger. And we learned a lot. We got the blueprint now. So now we know how we can take it to each city and make it even better next year. The brand and the word is kind of getting out like, hey, this is what we do. And there's not really many other people providing, you know, leadership training for, you know, people in the urban space, you know, urban leadership space, Christian hip hop space, church, urban church planting space. So we just feel like that responsibility being that, you know, our church is thriving and doing really well. We want to train and teach others and pour into them and, you know, create that space, man. So So, yeah, thank you, bro. Thank you for being a part of it. And everybody watching this, flavorfest.org is where you could go to tap in. And last year we had like 80% of the people, like Doc said, 80% of the people were new at Flavorfest. Yep. So we had a whole new crop of young church planners, leaders, church entrepreneurs, artists. It was just a big, a lot of new faces. It was great. But it's a big family reunion every time. So we're praying that some of the people that have been back in the day will also come back this year and tap back in to be a part of it, man, as it continues to grow. So, Doc, where can everybody find you, man? What's the best way to find you online, bro?
Man, you know, just reflectionmusicgroup.com or rmgforever.com. Just go there. Me personally, Instagram, I think it's Doc Watson RMG. I probably spend the most time on Instagram. And that's not a lot of time.
Yeah.
I go on there. Cool. I check.
Well, hey, bro, can you just close us out real quick, man? And just with a quick prayer, pray for all the leaders that are watching this, man, the artists that are hearing your nuggets of wisdom today.
Yeah. Now, Lord, thank you for what you let us do, Lord. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to do what we love. I pray for everyone on this, Lord. A lot of times we get caught up in life and business and, you know, just the day-to-day stuff and forget, like, this is what we wanted to do. This is, you know, what we were asked to do. And, you know, thank you, Lord, for providing and for loving us the way you do and, you know, for giving us these opportunities. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for all the people that are out here trying to do the work, even though we get caught up in different things, Lord. It's, you know, these artists and these people that work in administration, the churches, the promoters, the organizations. I just want to pray they all have peace today and they have a great day, Lord, and that, you know, and that you bless them, Lord, with, you know, with just amazing opportunities. And Lord, I pray for Tommy that you keep him going and keep him funded and keep him strong and keep his family strong and give him rest and give his church rest and his staff. And also, Lord, I pray for Lily. She's been doing this for a long time with Tommy, and she's a great person that really helps and cares and does a lot for people. There's a lot of people at Tommy's church that do that I don't all know all by name, but I just pray for the whole church in general, Lord, and the outreach they do in Tampa and how important it is, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, bro. Show some love for Doc Watson. Yeah. Yeah, man. Thank you for being here, man. We'll see you in just a couple of weeks. So everybody else, flavorfest.org. Definitely tap in. Come out to Flavorfest. Be part of it this year. It's going to be amazing. We got some more episodes coming up in the next few weeks with some people that are going to be featured at Flavorfest. So share this with somebody. Keep tapping in. And we will be back on the next episode. We out.
Thanks for tuning into the Flavorfest Urban Leadership Podcast. Stay connected with us on social media at UrbanD813 and at Flavorfest. We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace and God bless.